tonight.
Alright!
We're gonna have a TV party, alright!
Tonight!
Alright. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the WGN Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and here till 5 a.m. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Mike Vanderbilt is going to join us. He is an assistant editor at Daily Grindhouse. He contributes to AV Club. He is also going to be live from Fantastic Fest in Austin. We're going to talk about that, but we're mostly going to remember Sid Haig, who passed away. It was announced literally at the end of my show yesterday, right, Tom? Right at the end of our show?
Yeah, it was actually Mike that broke the news to me, at the very least. He posted on Facebook about it, and I immediately reached out to him. I was like, is this for real? He says, yeah, it's for real.
So we'll talk about Sid Haig. Sid Haig was a film actor, been in hundreds of movies for many, many, many years. I think most recently, obviously, he's most known for the Rob Zombie films that he did, including Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand Corpses, and Three from Hell. And he was at our flashback horror convention at four or five. He visited at least four or five times and could not be a nicer guy and a very cool dude. So he was a horror icon. So we're going to remember Sid Haig a little bit later on. Right now, though, you heard the TV theme. That means that Dan Feinberg is going to join us. But you know what? It's not the second Thursday. It's a Tuesday. What? The Emmys were Sunday night. And so we definitely wanted to get Dan's thoughts on that. Dan is a TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. Also, the premiere week begins like crazy. All the brand new fall shows kick off. So we wanted to get some thoughts on that, too. But let's get Dan in here. Hi, Dan.
How are you doing, Nick?
All right. You're just a crazy, crazy beginning to the week.
It really, really is. You know that feeling that you have kind of the day after your birthday, where you're either really, really happy because it's the longest period of time before your next birthday, or you're really, really sad because it's the longest period of time before your next birthday?
Uh-huh.
That is what the day after Emmys feels like.
Okay. All right. I agree. So which one do you feel? Do you feel happy or do you feel sad?
I feel mostly relief, I think. I think that I am perfectly happy to downshift a little bit in that particular respect and let all of the lunatics on my Twitter feed who are part of movie Twitter start revving up for Oscar season, because that one lasts for 5 months.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of more invested in that, because obviously I review movies here at the station. And that's exhausting. You're absolutely. I mean, it's. I always take the morning after the Oscars off from work. So that Monday morning, I stay home.
Well, I could not do that, because as usual, the Emmys lead directly into premiere week, so there is no such thing as downtime.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking time to hang with us.
Oh,
I appreciate it. All right. Well, let's. Let's talk about the show, Dan. I did not read your full review, but I know you were not a fan of the broadcast.
It depends on how you look at things. Either you review the things that the producers of the show had actual control over, and if you review those things, it was probably the worst Emmy telecast I've ever seen, and maybe one of the worst award show telecasts I've ever seen. Mm. But if you have to take into account that, yes, they have control over things, but they also don't have control over much of it, and there are always going to be the things that are out of their control, and so how were those things? Well, those things were actually kind of wonderful. There were a lot of really great moments that the producers had no control over, and so I think they got a little bit lucky that there are good things to talk about today, as opposed to just what an absolute series of blunders the telecast was from a producing standpoint.
Yeah. Chief of which was the whole Thomas Lennon thing. I just don't get it. And I know they've tried this before. They've had somebody backstage before at these award ceremonies trying to take you through to the commercial. But man, I don't know who wrote the material. I don't know whose idea it was and how they handled it, but it was terrible.
It was not good. I have to admit, I laughed a couple times, and I think probably the hit to miss ratio was somewhere in the neighborhood of, say, the three hits and about 50 misses, which is not a very good percentage, regardless of what sport you choose to align it with. But I laughed a couple times. I would never do that again. It was those one or two laughs. I chuckled at the Felicity Huffman joke. I don't care if that makes me a bad person.
Oh, no,
and
I think I laughed at it. I gotta say I did. I laughed at that. I did. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I laughed at that, and I laughed at least one of the jokes about Chernobyl. There were a couple decent jokes about Chernobyl. So those were not worth the gimmick. There were enough things which were either excruciatingly unfunny or just distracting, which were then also conflated with the fact that he was constantly talking over people coming up to the stage, and the people coming up to the stage were doing so over often quite random music. Like, who was it who made the determination that Feeling Good was what they were going to play for the lead-in to Chernobyl? So it was all a mess. I think if you were to look at the boxes that the producers of the shows checked, they checked the wrong box on almost everything.
Yeah. Also, and to this effect, it was the lowest rated Emmys in years. It dropped 33% from last year, and it was one of the. And Sunday Night Football beat it.
And I think that it comes down to the show was always going to drop, and the show was always going to drop for a variety of reasons. Ratings are always lower for the Emmys on Fox. That is simply the reality for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I think that basically there was the strange blip that for some reason the Oscars went up this past year, and whether that was because of all the conversation about hostlessness or realistically whether it was because of Black Panther or whatever you want, they went up. But that was the anomaly. That wasn't the rule. So they were always going to go down. They didn't need to go down as much as they did. But on the other hand, they didn't go down because it was a horrible show. That just meant that fewer people had to watch a horrible show. So that's almost a relief.
All right, let's talk about a few more of the missteps. How about the fact that they didn't have a picture of Andre Previn during the In Memoriam, and it was Leonard Slatkin that was up on the screen?
The In Memoriam was, you know, that's always a place where you almost can't do it right, because anything you do wrong ends up being so magnified because of the nature of the thing. Yeah. So no one is ever going to be like, "Ooh, you nailed that one. Way to memorialize." No one's going to do that.
Right.
So you know, I obviously that was a blunder, and I didn't notice it until people started reporting it. But you know, you don't want to do that. That was stupid. I don't understand how, with all the people who passed in the past, you know, year, Carol Channing ended up with the last image. I just don't get that. You know, but then you're getting into the how much do we value dead people conversation, and that's not a good conversation to be having. It wasn't especially good. I didn't mind Halsey's performance once I figured out it was Halsey and not Pink.
I thought she was great. I thought she was, it was a beautiful performance. But it was really funny because I watched Kimmel last night before I came down here to work, and he had Leonard Slatkin on. He interviewed him via Skype, and it was hilarious because he's in Ireland right now, and people were, you know, like 4 o'clock in the morning, he said he got up to check the baseball scores because he's a baseball fanatic, and he found out that he was dead. He had no idea. And he said that he knew Andre Previn and said that he deserved better. But he also said that Andre Previn is not spinning in his grave. I'm sure he's laughing. But it was really funny. Jimmy Kimmel, you know, did a nice, really funny interview with the guy.
Well, they got some positive out of it. And, you know, it gives people a chance to talk about Andre Previn today and to actually post real pictures of Andre Previn.
Right,
so
there's
that. I don't know. Yeah, that was not good. Honestly, I think we got spoiled because we all felt like the Oscars proved that you don't need a host. And then, to me, last night's Emmy telecast proved that you definitely can use a host.
I agree. I also didn't understand. Sometimes they announced the nominees before the presenters came out. Sometimes they didn't. What was that?
It was bad, and it was not a good choice. The Oscars, I believe, did something comparable this past year as well, and it didn't work then. So it means that you have all the names read, and then you have the two people coming out, and they're doing little bits of banter for no reason, and in no cases was the banter funny. So it was just dead time as the people waited to have their names announced. That was yet another stupid decision. Yeah. And then, you know, you had the people coming up to the stage to accept their awards, and they were doing it in front of gigantic backdrops of themselves, usually with the least flattering pictures imaginable. Right. That was strange.
Yeah. And it was just absolutely weird. And the picture of Phoebe Waller-Bridge, by the way, she's bleeding from her nose, and you got to see that. You got to see that nice and large right behind her.
And every one of them, the pictures were somewhat ridiculous, which meant that all of the pictures that were in the media today were all pictures of that. So you're pretty much making not just the moment itself awkward and somewhat visually discordant, but you're basically perpetuating that for as long as anyone remembers the 71st Emmy. Yeah. So, yay, way to cement the image in people's minds forever, I guess.
All right. Well, look, we're talking about the bad stuff, but we want to get to some of the winners and some of the surprises of the night. And I thought there were a lot of surprises in terms of who won those awards in a good way.
I was blown away by a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you were, because every time Fleabag won, I was just like, Dan's losing his mind right now. All right,
I was very happy.
I bet. Okay, hang out a second. Okay,
sure.
Dan Feinberg is with us. He joins us every couple of Thursdays. He'll be with us a week from Thursday for his regular TV visit. But since we had the Emmys the other night, we wanted to obviously get his thoughts on it. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, FIEN. We'll return after the news with more Emmy talk right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. We are back here, and we are live in the Skyline studio here on a Tuesday morning. And we're going to be talking with Mike Vanderbilt and remembering Sid Haig, who passed away a couple of days ago. He was a horror actor, a cult figure, an icon, and the assistant editor of Daily Grindhouse, who is Mike Vanderbilt, who's also going to be broadcasting live from the Fantastic Fest in Austin. So we'll get a little update on that, too. But we're going to remember Sid Haig. And also, today in history is the first Supreme Court was established. So in honor of that, we're going to talk about courtroom dramas in both TV and movies. And do you like those things? I love them when they're good. All right. So the Emmys were a couple of nights ago, Sunday night. And we wanted to get a report from our buddy Dan Feinberg, who reports on TV with us. TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him at The Fine Print on Twitter and Facebook, and that's FIEN. And we want to get more of his thoughts on the Emmys. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay, so I do want to talk about a couple of things that I thought were funny on the show before we get into like the winners. I thought Maya Rudolph and Ike Barinholtz were hilarious. I don't know why it just made me laugh. And the Ted Danson, they get the Ted Danson pronunciation correct. I don't know why, but that killed me. So I thought that was very funny. I thought they were good.
I thought that bit had moments. It was one of those fun things that started off funny, then ceased to be funny, and then kind of became funny again by the end. But like so many of the bits of banter or patter, it went on too long. On the other hand, it was blissfully swift compared to whatever it was that Ken Jeong did with TikTok.
Oh, my God.
That was horrible.
Yeah, I don't know. That was really, wow, yeah, that was really bad. I'm just thinking back to it now, and it was really, really, really terrible. And man, how many plugs were they doing for The Masked Singer? I mean, I knew because it was on Fox, we were going to see some Fox shows plugged. But my God, I mean, to have The Masked Singers come out on stage at one point, I was like, what are we, this is the Emmys.
It was pathetic, and the thing I don't get is why they didn't just have the four or five, if you include Nick Cannon, Masked Singer people just host the show. You know, if yeah. all you wanted to do was do it as an extended commercial for Masked Singer, let him host the show.
Well, Jenny McCarthy was awful on the red carpet beforehand, and we got to see they paraded out all of the Masked Singers during that. And I mean, it was just I was like, you know what? And I like the Masked Singer, but I was starting to dislike it while I was watching the show. So,
I came to the conclusion that I will not be watching this season during last night's telecast. So yeah. I hope that Fox is pleased. I was absolutely going to tune in for a couple episodes. Now I really don't have any desire.
All right. So, was there anything else that you thought was entertaining or good besides the amount of shocking and really cool winners from last night or from Sunday night?
No, and that was what I enjoyed, and I enjoyed so much of that, and I enjoyed so much of the unspooling sense of unpredictability, which almost never happens on a show like this. And yet, watching the Emmys, it really was the case almost the entire night. You know, there were the obvious bits, like, okay, you knew Saturday Night Live was going to win and whatever. You knew Last Week Tonight with John Oliver was going to win, and that was good. You knew RuPaul's Drag Race was going to win. You know, so there was the kind of kernel of boredom in the middle of the show. But in the actual major categories, left and right, I was being astounded by almost every award.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And, so, I mean, it wasn't a surprise that Game of Thrones won. I think everybody knew that. And, you know, but I was thinking because of the way things were going, Sunday night, that there was a possibility that maybe it wouldn't win, you know, and they might give it to something like Pose, which would be, you know, incredible, right?
I just didn't think there was any chance that was going to happen. And I never for a second thought there was going to be an upset for drama series. But what I felt and what I felt every step of the way was, okay, if they have to give this to Game of Thrones, and they did and whatever, at least it wasn't going to be a situation where it won absolutely everything. And I think that there was a world in which it could have won a ridiculous number. It could have somehow won for writing. It could have won for directing. Several of the other actors, in addition to Peter Dinklage, could have won. It really could have been a colossal coronation-type sweep for a show that didn't in any way, shape, or form either need, because it had won plenty of Emmys already previously, or deserve, because the last season was a bit of a mess, that sort of coronation. Instead, it wasn't. Instead, like, oh my God, when Succession won for script, I went nuts. Yeah. I thought in a million years would I have guessed that was a possibility.
Yeah.
So, you know, God bless.
Yeah, okay. All right. I remember the last time we spoke, you said that I would hear you yawn all the way from L.A. if Jason Bateman won Best Actor, but he won Best Director. Did you yawn?
That was just a confirmation of how crazy everything was in the entire in the entire show, because when he won Director, they were on a streak of like five or six great awards, and I was like, wow, they're getting everything right, man, nailed it, what? And then of course the moment has become a meme already, because Jason Bateman in no way expected to win, and so there's the great shot of everyone around him exploding in happiness and him just being, huh, okay, I'm apparently an Emmy winning director now. Well, okay, sure, why not?
All right, let's talk about Fleabag. My God, I mean, what a night. I never expected that to happen, and what do you make of that?
Well, you know, the thing I make of it, and this is not something that one normally comes away saying out of the Emmys, is the best show won those categories, period, full stop. And, you know, I know a lot of listeners, and I know a lot of people on Twitter, and I know a lot of people hither and yon have not watched Fleabag, and so let me say again, and I know I've said it a couple times with you, it was the best show on TV this year. It just was. There's a chance that Succession could sneak in, you know, and jump ahead of it, maybe, whatever. But it was just a wonderful miraculous season of TV. And, you know, when we last talked, I think I said I just needed her to win one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and so when she won for writing, it was like, okay, great. That'll do, Pig.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. I can live with this. Whatever crazy stuff happens now, I can live with it. And then she kept winning, and for heaven's sakes, it won for direction. And, you know, in several of the categories, I could go, okay, I would have loved to see .. win. So when we last talked, I would have loved to see Natasha Lyonne win something.
Right.
And, you know, Bill Hader absolutely, totally could have won for direction, and I would have been very happy.
Yeah.
But Harry Bradbeer's direction of the season 2 premiere is astonishingly good and astonishingly subtle. He doesn't have a kung fu fighting little girl to cut away to make everyone go, oh my goodness. No, it's an entire episode set at a restaurant, and it is as well constructed, both writing and directing, as any episode of TV you could ever watch. Mm-hmm. So I was just so happy.
Yeah, yeah. I was, well, I agree with you, but I wanted Hader to win. Because Ronnie Lilly was my favorite episode of television last season. It was absolutely,
yeah, and it was,
yeah,
and it was a great episode. But, and he won for acting. And again, could I have come up with another alternative there who I might have liked to see as much? Maybe, but he got that. He deserved it. Huzzah!
Yeah.
You know, they did not feel the need to spread the wealth to absolutely everything, and you know, maybe they could have, but. No, I was very happy because Fleabag was a wonderful 6 episodes of TV this year.
Yeah.
And deserved it.
Yeah, it's a great show. It is a great show. I do want to mention that I was really, for some reason, like, I knew that would never happen, but I was still rooting for Steven Root to win supporting actor, and I knew there wasn't a snowball's chance in hell that he would, but that's his first nomination, which to me is unbelievable, that he's been doing movies and TV for such a long time, he's never been honored with a nomination. I couldn't believe that.
And if he had won, it would have been wonderfully exciting. Tony Shalhoub is just,
yeah,
beloved, and
yeah,
is, you know, what can you say other than Emmy voters like Tony Shalhoub?
Yeah, exactly. And so do Tony voters. So,
sure.
Okay, Dan, hang on, all right?
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is with us. We're wrapping up the Emmy Awards. We wanted to get Dan's opinion on it since he's our TV guy. He joins us every other Thursday, and he'll be with us a week from Thursday for his regular visit, but he joins us this morning to wrap up the Emmys, and we'll do that when we get back right here on 720 WGN. Wow, welcome back, everybody. It is a Tuesday morning. 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're talking with Dan Feinberg. He is the TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. And we're wrapping up the Emmys. So let's get Dan back in here. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick.
See, the feedback that I was getting from my listeners yesterday morning after the awards when I was, you know, discussing them was that people... There are a lot of people out there who do not have a lot of the streaming services, who are tired of seeing, you know, pay cable channels or streaming services win all the awards. And they, at least two or three people said that they should have like two different Emmy Awards, one for broadcast TV and one for the streaming and the cable. And I understand that, because you said a lot of people have not seen Fleabag. So a lot of people watching the show last night were like, what is this? You know, and, you know, even to the point where, you know, some of the others, like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, a lot of people probably haven't seen that, who just watched your broadcast or your basic cable. So what do you think about that? I mean, that was kind of a strong thing that my listeners were talking about last night.
Man, the Bring Back the Cable Ace Awards hot take is just one you don't expect to hear. So the first thing I have to say is, the world does not need more award shows.
Okay.
So that is the first and primary thing I have to say. The second thing is, do I think that maybe there are adjustments that could be made that would give the broadcast networks a little bit more visibility or viability? Yes. Whether it's as simple as the Oscars saying we're going to go to 10 Best Picture nominees, that way we can get in a Dark Knight or a Black Panther. You know, so by that theory, let's go to 10 nominations and maybe we get another additional Speechless in, or The Good Place is nominated every year or something. But you could go 50 deep and not get a broadcast drama in a top 10. So that wouldn't help there. The thing I would say, and I know this is horribly snobby and it does nothing for the ratings, is it's a qualitative award show. And are the networks at a disadvantage? Yeah, they are, and particularly when it comes to drama, having to do 22 episodes of network drama with the restrictions they have on content and language and all of that.
Yeah.
It's an imposition. It just is. I cannot argue with that. But if you've never heard of the shows that won last night, give some of them a look. That's what this should be about.
Yeah.
It should be about I just saw Phoebe Waller-Bridge. She's the most charming person I've seen in my life. I should watch this. I just saw Billy Porter. He is a ray of light from the heavens. Like, good gracious, I have to watch his show now.
Yeah.
You know, take it as that, not as a confirmation that the things that I already watch are good. If you like them, they're already good. Take it as here are shows that I didn't know existed. They look interesting to me now. I'm going to spend my weekend binging Fleabag, which will take you 6 hours.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point. We have a little bit of a couple of the speeches from Sunday night. I want to start with Michelle Williams, who is so great and so amazing and was so great in Fosse Verdon. And I think she gave one of the best speeches of the night. We have a little bit of it, Tom?
I see this as an acknowledgement of what is possible when a woman is trusted to discern her own needs, feels safe enough to voice them, and respected enough that they'll be heard. When I asked for more dance classes, I heard yes. More voice lessons, yes. A different wig, a pair of fake teeth not made out of rubber, yes. And all of these things, they require effort and they cost more money, but my bosses never presumed to know better than I did about what I needed in order to do my job and honor Gwen Verdon. And so I want to say thank you so much to FX and to Fox 21 Studios for supporting me completely and for paying me equally.
There you go. And then she went on that front, and I thought that was one of the better speeches of the night.
Oh, she's wonderful. And as I'm sure I mentioned when we talked about the TCA Awards, her TCA Awards speech was even better because it went on for longer and no one cared if she swore and other various things. She's really good. She's really smart and she means it.
Yeah.
If someone
were to tell me like 20 something years ago that the girl from Halloween H2O and Dawson's Creek would want to be one of the most important and amazing actresses of all time, I would just say, shut up. And she's turned into just that. It's amazing to have watched this career that she has. She's so, so extraordinarily talented, really.
She's amazing. Her speech was great. And, yeah, I've seen some people try suggesting on Twitter that her speech was political, and if the things that she said in that speech were count as political to you, then I don't know what to say.
Yeah. All right. How about Patricia Arquette? Another, and she was going to win one of those two prizes, Dan. We've already, you know, that was already discussed. She could have won both of them. But here's Patricia Arquette, a little bit of her.
I'm grateful to be working. I'm grateful at 50 to be getting the best parts of my life. In my heart, I'm so sad. I lost my sister, Alexis, and that trans people are still being persecuted. And I'm in mourning every day of my life, Alexis, and I will be the rest of my life for you until we change the world so that trans people are not persecuted and give them jobs.
Yeah, that was a pretty great moment, too.
It was a great moment, and once again, if that's political to you, then I don't know what to say about you.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. All right. How about when Jarrell Jerome won? That was a massive and really incredible moment. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
But most importantly, this is for the men that we know as the Exonerated Five. It's for Raymond, Yusuf, Antron, Kevin, and King Corey Wise. Thank you so much. It's an honor. It's a blessing.
Easily one of the main highlights of the show. It was incredible to see them in the crowd, and it was a great moment and a great win.
It was at that point. It was also vaguely nerve-wracking, the possibility that when they see us, might have gone home empty-handed, and that was going to be both a problem on a qualitative level, because I don't think Chernobyl was appreciably better than it. If you want to say it was better, I'm fine with that. But, you know, in the same way that a couple of years ago when Fargo Season 2 didn't win any because, God, I don't even remember which thing. I think it was probably some American Crime Story. I don't know where it got shut out entirely. And I'm like, I wish they could have found a way to spread the wealth a little bit more. If they had had the five real men there, and there had been no opportunity in that show for them to have gotten that recognition, it would have been bad. And Jarrell Jerome was so good in that fourth episode of that miniseries. Yeah. So I'm glad that they were able to make sure that that moment happened. I mean, not make sure. It wasn't like it was a fix or anything. I'm glad that that moment was able to happen.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It was one of the highlights without question. All right, let's talk about Black Mirror. So it's not a TV movie. Bandersnatch Black Mirror wins Outstanding TV Movie, effectively taking it away what should have won, which would have been Deadwood. So what do you think about that? I mean, is this gonna happen every year?
Well, until someone actually steps in and says this is wrong. I mean, if an episode of an anthology drama series has now won the movie category 3 years in a row, it is time for them to acknowledge something is fundamentally wrong with the categorization. Bandersnatch was not a movie. I will also add that I thought Bandersnatch was awful.
Yeah.
and it was a couple hours of fun. The day it came out, it had no narrative long tail. Nobody has talked about Bandersnatch as a piece of actual entertainment other than a piece of technology since 1 week after it came out.
Right.
It was negligible.
Right.
And for heaven's sakes, this was the chance to give David Milch and the people behind Deadwood one more standing ovation.
Absolutely.
Instead, Bandersnatch.
Yep. And they mentioned David Milch's name on stage. Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. He should be standing up there. So, anyway.
Well, and they also did the, God, it's such an honor to be in a category with those people. Yeah, because you don't belong in the category. you should have been competing in a drama series category where no one would have known how to recognize you, because it's not exactly where they belong either, but you belong more there than in the movie category.
That's right. Okay. Well, there it is. I wanted to end on an aggravating note, Dan.
Thanks, Nick. I appreciate that.
Another busy week of premieres, and also this is the week where Big Brother ends. And I know that you don't care, but for the record, I'm rooting for Nicole. That's the person I'm rooting for. So.
And I am rooting for you to be freed from these shackles for another 10 months. That's what I'm rooting for, Nick.
All right, Dan. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you a week from Thursday.
Sounds good, Nick.
All right, take care. Dan Feinberg, everybody. TV critic from The Hollywood Reporter. It's always great to talk to him. Follow him on Twitter and on Facebook at The Fine Print, FIEN. All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news. And then after that, Mike Vanderbilt is going to join us live from the Fantastic Fest in Austin. And we're going to remember Sid Haig. That's all coming up right here on WGN.